Welcome to the beautiful sunny town of Largs this Sunday morning, and welcome to the Largs NAS online worship service. We're really glad that you're here with us. Whether you're a regular attender or a first-time visitor, we invite you all to worship with us.
You may be watching this video on YouTube, or you may be listening to the audio on a CD or online.
But however you're joining us, we want to remind you that if you visit the largsnas.org website and click on the sermons page, you'll see all the sermons and online services going all the way back to June of 2019.
And beside the graphic for many of them, you'll see a link that you can click that will take you to the YouTube to watch the service.
There's also a link that will allow you to download the transcript of the sermon.
And a link to download the listening guide, in which there are all the lyrics to the songs, the scripture readings, and the sermon notes.
So you can print these out and read the scriptures and sing along with us.
And take your own notes during the service.
You'll also find the audio link there if you just want to listen. That's a lot of work to do. Anyway, once again, we're glad you're here.
Let's all worship together.
Morning, we welcome you to worship. We're so glad that you have joined us this morning. I am a believer in the Lord's presence, and I believe that we have gathered in His name this morning, and therefore we have full confidence in knowing that when we have gathered two or three, at least in His name, that His presence is here this morning. So we're believing and trusting that the internet today, that the streaming of this service and lots of other services is just simply going to be a conduit for the Holy Spirit this morning, that His presence is going to flow in and through church services all over the world today. And I also believe this morning, it's quite possible that there are probably millions of people watching church on the internet this morning. So I think God's going to use that today. So my hope is that you'll go ahead and sing along, turn up the volume on your phone, on your television, on your computer, however you're watching. Be sure and sing along with us. We want to know that God's presence is with us, and we want to know that you're joining us in worship, even from home this morning. So maybe if you're comfortable, stand, and let's just begin this day by lifting our praises.
Do what only you can do. With one word, the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, freedom, like a river running wild, like a never-ending fire, where the Spirit of the Lord is. It's your name that tears down walls. Every enemy will fall. So we will stand and we will fight. Every wrong would be made right. There is power in this room. Oh, I believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, like a river running wild, like a never-ending fire. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, like a river running wild, like a never-ending fire. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you're moving through our cities. Your Spirit fills our streets. We're shouting to the nations, your love has set us free. You're moving through our cities. Your Spirit fills our streets. We're shouting to the nations, Your love has set us free. You're moving through our cities. Your spirit fills our streets. We're shouting to the nations. Your love has set us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Like a river running wild, like a never-ending fire. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Like a river running wild, like a never-ending fire. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is.
I want to share a scripture with you this morning. It's out of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says this: Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Now it seems kind of a strange thing to say that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, because we don't feel very free right now. We feel pretty confined. We feel quarantined. But I believe today that our freedom doesn't come from being stuck in our homes or being restricted away from work and away from restaurants and all those kind of things. I believe today that freedom, true freedom, comes in Christ Jesus. The Lord is Spirit, and where we gather in His name, there the Spirit of the Lord is. Let's continue to worship together.
All authority. You overcame. Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name. You overcame. Yes, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. Yes, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. Savior is worthy of honor and glory. He's worthy of all of our praise. For you overcame. His name is Jesus. Jesus, he's awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name.
Good morning, church. Today is the third Sunday in our sermon series called A Generous Life, The Beauty in Giving. It's also the first Sunday in Lent. Last week, Pastor Steve shared with us from 1 Corinthians 13, the love passage, and he encouraged us to see that if we, as Christians, have love towards God, we'll have love towards others. And that the way we have agape or have love is by giving ourselves to God and giving of ourselves to others. We hope you all enjoyed the pancake with the pastor's video on Shrove Tuesday. We certainly enjoyed making it. And if you need any of the recipes we used on the video, just let us know and we'll get you a copy. Last Wednesday, during our weekly prayer time, we shared an Ash Wednesday devotional, and we were encouraged by the participation of not just our regular Wednesday prayer group, but by several more in the community, including our fellow minister, Jonathan Fleming. We want you to know that this wasn't just a one-time invitation. We would love for you to join us every Wednesday morning for prayer and encouragement. The Zoom information is here on screen. Another reminder of a wonderful Zoom opportunity that's coming up is our monthly Second Helping Bible Study next Sunday. It's hard to believe that it's almost been a month since our last Second Helping. Time just seems to go by so quickly, doesn't it? We hope you'll join us next Sunday at 6 p.m. where we'll be discussing all four of the Giving Series sermons. We always have great discussion and we really hope that you'll join us. I ran into a friend at Morrison's last week. I haven't seen her in a little while and it was really good to catch up with her. And while we were chatting, she told me that she missed church and that she didn't have a computer to watch the Largs Nez services. Well, of course, I told her that we have CDs available of the services, and she was absolutely overjoyed by that news. She's going to drop by the church later this week and pick up a few CDs to listen to. You know, we often take technology for granted and just assume everyone has it when many people don't. I'm sure you probably know someone who doesn't have access to the internet, and if you think that they might enjoy listening to the Largs Naz worship services, would you let us know? We can get CDs to them either by mail or they can be picked up at the church. So let us know if that's something you'd like to receive or gift to someone else. There's no cost for the CDs. That's all been covered by the generous giving of those who support the outreach ministries of the church. Along those same lines, we know that many of you keep up with what the church is doing in the community through social media, namely Facebook. Quite a few of our church family and extended church family members aren't on social media, and so we'll be publishing a monthly newsletter that highlights some of the things that the church has been doing locally and throughout the world to share the love of Christ. This newsletter will go out through the post, through email, and of course be made available on our website and social media platforms. If you want to be on the email or mailing list, some call it snail mail, please let us know. You can give us a call or send us an email. As always, thank you for supporting the church and all that we do. Largs Naz is financed through your regular giving. And without your generosity, we wouldn't be able to do all of the things that we do. Giving to the church is our primary way of giving back to God for bringing faith and hope and the love of His Son Jesus to the world. In addition, by supporting Largs Naz, we're supporting individuals and families in the community. Your giving helps in practical ways, like covering the utility bills at the church so that we can cook meals for people in our community. But not only that, your giving pays for the ink and the labels that we print and stick on each meal with a personal invitation to join us for worship at largsnaz.org. Your giving also supports our internet and our technology costs, the cost of CDs, so that people in our community and others throughout the world can see and hear the powerful message of Christ's love for them. Your giving also helps to support the work of the Nazarene Church here in this country and throughout the world through the World Evangelism Fund that goes towards building churches and supporting missionaries, many of whom are in places where Christians are actively persecuted. So let me remind you again of the ways that you can give. Probably the simplest way for you to support Largs Naz is to set up a bank transfer. Our bank details are on the giving page of our website. If you'd like to make a regular contribution, we'd be grateful if you'd set up a standing order. Some of you have standing orders, and we thank you for your faithfulness. Another way to give online is by using the Tithely form, again, at largsnaz.org on the giving page. It's a really simple and safe way to donate. You can do a one-time donation, or you can check a box to set up a reoccurring contribution. Totally up to you, however you feel led. However you choose to support Largs Naz, we are truly grateful. And we'd like to take some time this morning to give you an opportunity to worship through giving as you feel led. Thank you. Heavenly Father, our provider, our maker, and our protector, you are worthy of all of our praises. You reign in majesty above us and are our Lord forever. We thank you for allowing us to be graced by your presence today. Hallowed be your name. Accept our love and adoration in Jesus' name. We are here to pray, Almighty God, that you will always light our way with your presence. We resist evil and pray that your light will always shine on us. May all people see your glory through us and come to worship you as the living God. In your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen. As we continue to worship together, we welcome you again and encourage you to lean in and spend some time with each other and with our Lord and Savior this morning.
Shout it loud and long.
Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, and 14 through 18. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Therefore, it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. James 4, 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it commits sin. This is the written word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, church. We are so glad that you took the time to join us today, and we welcome you to our service. I believe God has something to say to us today that will challenge each of us to give ourselves to the fullness of His call for our lives. Now, we are continuing our four-week sermon series called A Generous Life, The Beauty in Giving today, and we've been talking about what it means to live a life that is characterized by a willingness to share the blessings that God has provided to each of us with the church and with others, to make what we have available for the building of the kingdom of God. And we have seen that there are many things that we can give when we're following God's generous example in our own lives. The one, of course, that most people think of first is that we can give our financial resources, and we are finally going to get around to talking about that one next week. But as we've said each week, that's only one way to give. That's only one thing that we can give. And during this sermon series, we are also thinking about some other ways to give, some other things that we can give. And we started our series by considering that before we can even begin to exemplify a generous life, we need to exemplify an attitude of gratitude, an understanding that God provides for us, that God meets our needs no matter what our situation is, and that we can be thankful in every circumstance. And we can not only be thankful, but generous, because we have a perspective of abundance and not of scarcity. And so we said that giving thanks is a prerequisite to living a generous life. But we saw last week that the sine qua non, that element that a truly generous life is impossible without, is love. It's that agape love, that divine Christ-like love that is a gift from God, and without which, Paul tells us, our gifts and our powers and our knowledge and even the sacrifice of all that we have and all that we are is nothing. gains us nothing, is just meaningless noise. So we've looked at giving thanks and giving love. And today, for a little while, we're going to think about giving time. And I want to begin by going way back in time to a little over 30 years ago and sharing a little bit of my personal history with you. Now, when I was a student at Trevecca Nazarene College in Nashville, Tennessee, a movie was released that got my classmates and my professors talking. I was an English major at the time in 1989, and if my desire to one day be an English professor wasn't strong enough already, this film settled it for me. The film was called Dead Poets Society. And not to give away any spoilers about the plot if you hadn't seen it, but Dead Poets Society is about an unorthodox and inspirational teacher and his students at a boys' boarding school called Welton Academy. And I want to share with you a scene in which this teacher, Mr. Keating, played by Robin Williams, takes his students out of their classroom and begins to let them know that he is going to teach them about much more than just poetry.
Mr. Pitts. It's a rather unfortunate name, Mr. Pitts. Where are you? Mr. Pitts, will you open your hymnal to page 542? Read the first stanza of the poem you find there.
Did the virgins to make much of time?
Yes, that's the one. Somewhat appropriate, isn't it?
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Old time is still a-flying. And this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying.
Thank you, Mr. Pitts. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The Latin term for that sentiment is carpe diem. Now, who knows what that means?
Carpe diem. That's seize the day.
Very good, Mr.
Meeks.
Meeks. Another unusual name. Seize the day. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Why does the writer use these lines?
Because he's in a hurry.
No. Ding. Thank you for playing anyway. Because we are food for worms, lads. Because believe it or not, each and every one of us in this room is one day going to stop breathing, turn cold, and die. I'd like you to step forward over here and peruse some of the faces from the past. You've walked past them many times, but I don't think you've really looked at them. They're not that different from you, are they? Same haircuts, full of hormones, just like you. Invincible, just like you feel. The world is their oyster. They believe they're destined for great things, just like many of you. Their eyes are full of hope, just like you. Did they wait until it was too late to make from their lives even one iota of what they were capable? Because you see, gentlemen, these boys are now fertilizing daffodils. But if you listen real close, you can hear them whisper their legacy to you. Go on, lean in. Listen. You hear it?
Carpe diem. Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary. Those lines are inspiring and motivational even without any theological consideration. The idea that we are not immortal, but that death awaits each one of us. The certainty that surely many of us would rather push from our minds and not be reminded of, that Our days on this earth are numbered, that time is short and not to be wasted. But how much more should we be moved when we consider that the God of the universe, the God who created both space and time, who breathed the breath of life into those he formed from the dust, who in the fullness of time stepped from the eternal into the temporal, into humanity, even to death on a cross, and whose resurrection glorifies and transforms our very mortality into everlasting life. How much more should we be moved when we understand that this very God puts a call into the lives of his followers, a call to build the kingdom, to proclaim the gospel, to redeem the lost, to rescue the perishing with our lives, with our words and our actions, every minute and every hour and every day of our lives until we breathe our last and cross the line of worlds and we stand before our Maker, having finished the course, having fought the good fight, having kept the faith. We need to be reminded every now and then, I think, that our time on earth is limited. This is what we are reminded of when Lent begins on Ash Wednesday and we receive the sign of the cross on our foreheads and we're told, remember that you are dust and to dust you will return. And this is what we heard this morning from the letter of James, who asked us, what is your life? For you are a mist, a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. James says, you make your plans about what you'll do with your time, thinking, we'll go to this city for a year and get rich. You think you have all the time in the world to do the things you want to do, when you don't even know what tomorrow holds. James says, that kind of attitude is not only arrogant, but evil. What you ought to say, James tells us, is, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that, because if you know what you ought to do, if you know the right thing to do, if you know how you ought to be spending your time and you spend your time doing something else, then that is sin. Verse 17, anyone then who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it commits sin. James does not mince words. How you spend your time matters. And not doing what you know you ought to be doing with the limited time that you have in this life is sin. If you are a follower of Christ, your time is to be given to God's purposes and not your own schemes. But if you're guided by the Holy Spirit, these two things will not be in opposition to each other. And as we're thinking about a generous life, about giving our resources, it's worth remembering this morning that whatever resources we may have or not have, whatever resources we have to give or not, whether money or talent or skill or knowledge or ability, and there are folks who have none of these to give, but each and every one of us has the resource of time. Even someone who has nothing else, as long as there is breath in our lungs and consciousness in our minds, we have time. And time is a resource like any other that can be wasted or it can be used wisely. And the wisest use of time is this: giving it up, handing it over to God for the building of the kingdom, offering it as a sacrifice to God, who transforms and sanctifies it and makes it efficacious, in short, who glorifies it. And so today we are thinking about giving time. And I'd like us to continue to consider what it means to give time by looking also at a few verses from the epistle to the Ephesians, in which the Apostle Paul, or someone writing in his stead, says to the church at Ephesus these words in chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God. And this is what we've been talking about in this sermon series, having a generous life, because We serve a generous God whose example we follow. We are imitators of God. As beloved children, and live in love. Now, we talked about that last Sunday. This is that agape love, that self-emptying love that we're to have and to give, echoing the love of God for us and for others. The writer continues, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Elsewhere, Paul says, let this same mind be in you. Be imitators of Christ who gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. This is how followers of Christ are to view themselves, as an offering, a sacrifice poured out to God. This is how we are to live. This is how we are to spend our days and hours and minutes to give our time. Now let's skip down to verse 14. Therefore, it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is a call to wake up, to shake off our slumber and unconsciousness, to get up, to rise up, and Christ will shine on you. But the apostle says in verse 15, be careful. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. The King James translation says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Verse 17, so do not be foolish, the writer cautions, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery. Don't go through life in a state of inebriation, intoxicated, in a stupor, stumbling uselessly about without clarity of mind. But wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. There is work to be done. Don't be foolish and don't be drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'd like to take just a few minutes and consider two perspectives on this passage of Scripture from Ephesians, the theological perspective and the practical perspective. And so first, let's think about the theological point that's being made here. Now, in general, the letter to the Ephesians is about God's plan to unite all of creation under the lordship of Christ. We see again and again throughout Ephesians this basic narrative that the world, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, is fallen and under the wrath of God, but God in his mercy and grace has moved to redeem it, to redeem all of creation through Jesus and his crucifixion and resurrection. We read in chapter 1 of Ephesians, beginning with verse 20, God put his power to work in Christ when he raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And then in verse 22, and he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now notice there, that description of the church, the body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, all of creation is being offered redemption through Jesus, not simply through the work of Jesus' earthly ministry and crucifixion and resurrection, but also through those who are called the body of Christ because they are the fullness of him who fills all in all. And they're to be poured out as well. They are to build the kingdom. So the church is the body of Christ, and each of us are members of it. And the work of the body of Christ is the redemption of a fallen creation. Now, when we understand that as the theological background of the letter to the Ephesians, when we read in verse 16 of chapter 5 that we are to redeem the time, that's the language that the King James uses, because the days are evil, then we realize that the writer is talking about the redemptive work of the church. You know, when I was younger, growing up in the church, I used to hear that phrase, redeeming the time because the days are evil, all the time. And I used to think it sounded really theological and poetic, but I really didn't have any idea what it meant. What did it really mean to redeem the time, as the King James says, or here in the NRSV, to make the most of the time because the days are evil? How can days be evil? What in the world was that about? And when I began to, later in my life, to really study the scriptures, I found that the word that is translated redeem in the King James Version and make the most of in the NRSV literally means to purchase, to ransom, to rescue. And so redeem is a pretty good translation there. When we talk about the redemption of the world, when we say the world is in need of redemption, we're talking about this idea. When we say that Jesus' sacrifice saves us, ransoms us, rescues us, when the hymn writer says, called unto holiness, church of our God, purchase of Jesus, redeemed by his blood, she is referring to this idea. And so the writer of Ephesians charges us, the church, to redeem the time, to rescue it, to purchase it, to ransom it, because the days are evil. The days are evil. Now, what does that mean? Well, the root word that is translated as evil there is poneros. And poneros doesn't just mean evil or bad. It literally means painful. Painful. In fact, Hippocrates uses that very word often in his medical writings to refer to pain that patients experience. But poneros doesn't just refer to things that are bad and painful, but also to things that are associated with toil, miserable labor, drudgery. And when we put these three ideas together, these three things, evil and pain and toil, we are reminded of the very things that creation is cursed with after the fall. A fallen creation is one that is cursed with evil and pain and toil. And so the image here is not just that the days are evil, but that the days are fallen. That time has fallen as a result of sin. That history itself is in need of redemption. And there are things that we see in our days as a result of the fall that are evil and toilsome and painful. Poverty and hunger and sickness and injustice and bondage. And the church is called to redeem the time because the days are evil, because life is hard, because creation is fallen. But the days are not irredeemably evil. They can be redeemed. And since the world, the days we live in, are in need of redemption, the church, as the body of Christ, is called to redeem the time. As the writer tells us at the very beginning of chapter 5, we are to be imitators of God and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us in sacrifice. Because we are followers of Jesus, because we have been saved by grace through faith, then we are therefore the body of Christ. And just as Christ redeems us, we are called to redeem the time, to transform a fallen creation, to rescue the perishing, to set the captive free, to feed the hungry, to give sight to the blind, to proclaim the good news of the gospel to a broken world that strives in darkness. This is what we are charged to do. As Charles Wesley reminds us, a charge to keep I have. To serve my present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. We are charged with redeeming the time. serving the present age. And the writer of Ephesians tells us what this entails in chapter 2, where he says in verse 10, "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." What has God made us for? For good works. That is to be our way of life. But take a look at what we read in the two verses that precede verse 10, starting at verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." Now, did you catch that? Verse 10, "For we are what he made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works." But verse 8 and 9 make clear that our salvation is not the result of good works. But good works are the result of our salvation. We are not saved because we do good works, but we do good works because we're saved. And doing good takes time. And the church is called to give its time. And we are each called to give our time to doing good. And that brings us to the practical perspective on these verses from the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Now, John Wesley took a practical and particular approach to this passage when in January of 1782, he wrote and delivered a sermon that was entitled On Redeeming the Time. It's sermon number 93 in his collected sermons. And in that sermon, Wesley takes almost 4,000 words to make one practical point. And that point is this: don't sleep too much. Now, you might think I'm joking, but I welcome you to read it for yourself. In fact, I'll include it at the end of the transcript of this sermon. So if you download the transcript, you can see the whole sermon there. And you will see that Wesley goes into great detail about how sleeping too much is sinful and harmful, and how he recommends that folks figure out how little sleep they need and make sure that's how much they get. No less, because that's harmful too, but also no more. Of course, different people need different amounts, but Wesley warns against sleeping too late and against just lying in bed awake for too long. He points out that many people who sleep well past 4 a.m. are prone to nervous disorders and general ill health because, and I quote, "By soaking so long between warm sheets, the flesh is, as it were, parboiled and becomes soft and flabby." Now, Wesley is quick to point out that simply waking up early will not make you a Christian. But, he says, not doing it may keep you a heathen, void of the whole Christian spirit. Now, let me just say quickly that I think that Wesley may be going a little bit too far in putting so much emphasis on how early a person wakes up. But the reasons behind his emphasis are valid. He says that waking up early is just one step among many in taking seriously the fact that we're called to give of our time to the building of the kingdom. And laying around in bed more than we need to is a waste of our valuable and limited time. Wesley's point is not so much about sleeping, but about what we do with our time. Now, it's well known that the word Methodist was a way that other students at Oxford University would make fun of the members of John Wesley's Holy Club because they were so methodical about time management, because they truly believed that the efficient use of our time was an act of worship and was a Christian duty. And it was that belief that led John Wesley to become almost obsessive about how he spent his time. Wesley believed that being idle, wasting time, was contrary to following Jesus. He said, no idleness can consist with growth in grace. Nay, without exactness in redeeming the time, you cannot retain the grace you received in justification. His first rule was, be diligent. Never be triflingly employed. Never while away the time. Neither spend any more time at any place than is strictly necessary, he said. That familiar image of John Wesley reading while riding his horse gives us a little insight into the way he wanted to make every minute count. It's probably a good thing that Wesley didn't drive a car. He'd probably have been one of those people who read on their phones while he drives. But Wesley wanted to make sure his time was spent effectively. And that's why he recommended limiting conversations and visits with other people to no more than 1 hour. He asked, do you really need longer than that? And I suspect that we would have disagreed on that point, because I like to visit, and I have missed visiting something awful during this pandemic. I cannot wait to have long face-to-face conversations with folks. Anyway, I have a suspicion. And while I have a suspicion that John Wesley might have been, for some of us like me, a little hard to get along with because of his constant drive to make the most of his time, to give as much as he could to the work of the kingdom, I also think that most of us, like me, could use a reminder that our time is a limited resource, and that it is a resource we are called to give to God, to be stewards of, and to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. And how are we to give our time? What are we to do? John Wesley answered that question like this: do good. Do all the good thou canst. Supply thy neighbor's wants, and thou wilt never want something to do. Canst thou find none that need the necessaries of life, that are pinched with cold or hunger, none that have not raiment to put on or a place to lay their head, none that are wasted with pining sickness, none that are languishing in prison? If you duly considered our Lord's words, the poor you always have with you, you would no more ask, what shall I do? How can we give our time? Wesley says, look around. Look around you for those in need. But giving time can take other forms as well. There are other ways to give. Now, in the Nazarene Manual, there's a list of the duties of a pastor. There are 27 of them. Things like preaching and administering sacraments and visiting the sick and receiving new members into the church. But the very first duty that is listed, job one, you might say, is this: pray. And I think that probably ought to be job one for lay people as well. Any follower of Jesus ought to give time primarily through prayer. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that prayer is the most powerful use of time available to a Christian. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. James tells us that the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, and you can do it anytime and anywhere and for anyone. Give time in prayer. I know there are so many in our church family who give so much of their time praying for others and for the church and for their pastors. And during this season of Lent, we also think, along with prayer, of fasting. That's a way of giving time by not doing something. And Jesus shows us the importance of fasting when, even though his earthly ministry would last only a little more than 3 years, the very first thing he does after his baptism is to fast in the wilderness for 40 days. He takes time to prepare himself for what he is called to do, and preparation is an essential use of time. Abraham Lincoln is reported to have said, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I'll spend the first four sharpening the axe. Fasting sharpens the axe. It refines our focus. And because preparation is important, reading is important. Give time by reading the Word, reading commentaries, reading devotionals, reading the news, reading a good book. Get good information. John Wesley told his ministers in training to read at least 5 hours a day or go back to their old jobs if they couldn't manage that. He told them, have as often as possible a book in your hand. In the 21st century, we have a lot more forms of media available to us, but educating ourselves is still an important way of giving time to the kingdom. We also give time when we worship. You are giving time right now. And today there are more opportunities than ever to give our time by participating in worship online and on TV and on the radio. And we'll get back to in-person worship one of these days. There are so many ways to give our time each day to the building of the kingdom. So many ways to show the love of Jesus. We give our time when we are patient. In situations when we have to wait. In a queue at the post office or the bank or on the telephone. When we don't allow frustrating circumstances to steal our joy. When we give others the benefit of the doubt. When we refuse to be in a hurry or expect others to hurry up for us. When we are patient. When we're patient with the pandemic. When we don't bend the rules or endanger others just because we're tired of waiting. We give time. You give time when you simply do your job, whatever it is, in a way that reflects the love of Jesus. When you carry out your day's activities with a Christ-like attitude and outlook. There are so many in this community who cheerfully and willfully give their time, and the pandemic has only increased that number. Those who connect with others through calls and notes and texts and emails of encouragement and concern. I know I sure appreciate a text or a phone call when I get them. And I do every week. People who walk the neighbor's dog or get their groceries or prescriptions for them. Those who deliver meals to folks. Folks who know how to make crafts and they give them to others, even those they don't know, just to encourage them and show them that they're appreciated. People who keep our church building clean and functional. People who contribute to our online church videos, providing music and using their talents for the Lord. Folks who volunteer at the food bank, the living room. Folks who serve on our church board, who give their time to the business of the church faithfully and with joy. All of those who give their time to our hospitality ministry, those who plan and cook and package and label and distribute meals, those who bake and those who pray and those who peel potatoes, those who take the time to attend prayer times and Bible studies. Without them, those things wouldn't happen. This, Large Naz, Large Church of the Nazarene, is a church that gives time. And we live in a community that gives time. And that is why revival is not only coming, but revival is here. The kingdom is being built and lives are being changed because the body of Christ is redeeming the time. We are seeing the transformative power of sacrifice in our world. It's an exciting time, and I'm glad I'm part of it. I hope you are too. We appreciate you so much. Have a great week, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday, if not before. May God bless you. Thank you.
Let us go forth into the world in peace and dedicated to your service, O Lord. Let us hold fast to that which is good. Render to no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the needy and the afflicted, and honor all people. Let us love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of his Spirit. And may God's blessing be upon us and remain with us always. Amen.
Praise God from whom blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.